That was absolutely wonderful. Are we feeling alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic? Woo! Yeah. And are we all going to be kind to each other and joyful and have a good day today?
Yes.
What about tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just checking that out. So just a reminder from Charles Fillmore, we are now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. And we acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O blessed Spirit, and in thy divine wisdom, now erase our mortal limitations, and from thy pure substance of love, bring into manifestation our world according to thy divine perfect law. So Charles Fillmore wrote that, said that many years ago, and I always feel kind of grounded when I hear that and just like, ka-chunk, here we are. Here we are. And now I want to know, how many of you can dance and dance well? Okay, there's some good dancers in here. I will just say that I'm probably not one of them, and you don't want to see me dance, but I do know what a good dance looks like, and I know that it takes a lot to really be a good dancer, that there's this creative energy that goes into it, that people have to, you know, think these dances up and these steps, and they have to be really creative, and then they have to work with somebody to get that other person to do the same thing, hopefully. Unlike me, which would probably just step on someone's toes. So when I see somebody doing a divine two-step, a two-step that is really working, I know that there's a divine presence in there and a power that brings it together the way that it does. This title is from Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan priest. And I just want to acknowledge him because I heard the phrase and I was like, really great, I love it. And then I found out he wrote a whole book by that name. So maybe one of these days I'll read it. But for right now, I just thank him for the title. I really like it. So back to the divine two-step. When we do this dance, when you do this dance, who do you partner with? When you are in life and you're living life and you're living life fully and you're doing a divine two-step of life, who are you going to partner with? Are you going to partner with that thing that we like to call ego and say, okay, we're going to do it my way and this is the way it is? Or are we going to say, I think that God's my partner and maybe I'll let him lead, he, she, it. Maybe I will let God have the reins here and direct me. Because what I know is that when I decide I'm going to do it, it is not a pretty dance. I really have to be willing to let go. Many times when we think about God and Jesus and what we're doing here and what Jesus came to teach us, so maybe it's Jesus that we're going to do the two-step with since he was actually here on earth. If we think about that, oftentimes when we're thinking of Jesus, we think about his birth, that big Christmas time that we do everything around, and then we think of his death, Easter, and we get all excited about that. But what about his life in between? What did he do in between that? What did he do? Did he say, come, worship me? Let me show you how much I can do for me. Was that the teachings of Jesus? No. Jesus never said, come, worship me. What he said was, follow me. Big difference in that between follow me and worship me. We are not here to worship Jesus, but to follow him, to look at his teachings, and to allow his teachings to guide us in the world today. So it wasn't about back that many low years ago. It's about what we do with it today. For if we just take the historical value of the life of Jesus, we've missed the mark. We've really missed the mark. It wasn't what it was about. Jesus did not come and say, here, I'm going to live this life and then I'm going to be gone. And you're going to have it and you can study it. And you can argue about what it means. And you can argue about whether I was out talking to the Samaritan and should have been or not. Or if it was okay for me to heal somebody or not. It's not about us looking at it in a historical, looking at it historically can be very enlightening and can be very provocative. And there's a lot of different interpretations that we can think about. But I don't think that's what we were here for. You see, we were created in the image and likeness of God. We were created to live this life. And we all like to say, well, we're divine beings having a human experience and kind of let things go, right? And say, well, I've done it all now. And anything I make a mistake with, it's only because I'm human, but I'm really divine, so you just have to forgive me. But we were born and brought here to learn to live in the image and likeness of God. And we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and it's going to be slow, right? It's going to be slow. It's going to be just as a seed that has been put into the ground, into darkness, a little bitty seed that's going to come out in the fullness of what it is and made manifest. So in the beginning was a creative activity, just as dancing, that divine two-step is a creative activity. It requires mind. It requires the mind imagining. It requires the mind imagining some fancy movement to bring together a two-step. And so somebody first moved into divine mind and said, let's try this. Let's try this movement. Let's try this dance. And people went, yeah, this is kind of fun. Let's do it. And they began to follow that. You see, they didn't just study it. They began to follow the dance step that was set out there. So there's a power of an imagination, and that same power, the power of imagination, the power of creativity, is what created our world. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and dark came over the surface in the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered above. There was creation. And when there was creation, God went, it's pretty good. I like this. And I'm going to give this to this divine creation called human. And I'm going to see what happens with it, because I'm going to give them a whole lot of power. A whole lot of power. And that one power was divine creativity or imagination. It's one of 12 powers that we acknowledge in unity, right? And so oftentimes, children are told to stop daydreaming, right? At least that was true back in my day. Now we kind of tell them, please go out, use your imagination, create, play outside, do something about dreaming. So we know that there's a powerful piece there in creativity, in daydreaming. I'd like to ask, how many of you had a daydream when you were young that you took into your adulthood and it made a difference, whether it was a job or just something that you wanted to do? Anybody? Look at that. Look at how many daydreams came into fruition. We have that power. We have that power. In the book Creative Life, Butterworth says that the universe that creates a watermelon from a tiny seed and guides the birds across the uncharted seas is the same that focused you into being. That same one focused you into being. That same universal process is your creative being. And from continuing from Butterworth, he says that there are no duplicates in creation. Every snowflake, every blade of grass, every grain of sand is a unique design. It's the same as you. No one has ever been you before, and no one will ever be you again. You were created in your divine uniqueness. And you're created with an internal dance that is all yours. And I loved the reading this morning, the prayer this morning. We have a dance that's unique to us. And how do we get in touch with that? And how do we allow the dance to be led by the divine rather than our ego? How do we find the divine in our lives and get quiet enough to give up ego-drivenness? Brené Brown says that there's no such thing as creative people and non-creative people. There are only people who use their creativity and people who don't. Does that hurt? Yeah. Everybody is creative. There's just some that use their creativity and some that don't. And so one way of filling up, she says, is, and I look at that as zesting up, is to use creative play. So how many of you like to play? I don't know. I think y'all must all like to play because that music really jazzes you up and makes you want to move and play, right? Playing is so important to our creative process. And so oftentimes we want to think that we're way too cool to dance, way too cool to be creative. No, I'm not creative. And we brag about that. Well, I don't think so. You are creative. I am creative. We are all creative. You have a divine two-step in you. And when we allow ourselves the movement of that, we find a newness in our job. We find a new pleasure in our relationships, in our lives. We suddenly see things anew. We go out and we walk and we see plants that we've never seen that way before. Have you ever done that? Walked outside and go, ah, I've never seen this, and it's been there all along. So we begin to see anew. We begin to have a new energy, a new life, when we allow that creative energy to do its work, when we allow ourselves the divine two-step. Because the divine two-step is an energetic process most of the time, and it empowers us with our zeal to move forward, to be about life. Jesus did not say, worship me, copy me. He said, follow me, follow me. And what did he do? Was he out there gathering things for himself? Oh, let's see how much stuff I can get. I want the biggest boat and the biggest car. Let me see if I can catch the biggest fish, show everybody how cool I am. Jesus was out serving others. He was out giving himself to others. We have talents that are way beyond our imagination. We have talents and energy and power to help others, to give, to bring joy in the life. We have that as long as we're willing to tap into it so that we can serve others, give to others, be about that place. And oftentimes, if we're listening to our divine guidance, we get that information that we need. We get that knowing that there's something out there for us. And it might mean changing our knowing. It may mean changing our structure of knowing. And in doing that, we have a transformation. I think that's what music does, by the way. Thank y'all for your wonderful music. Because I think that music can transform our energy. And that's what we're talking about here, right? Is an energy. We're talking about an energy, and music can transform that energy faster than anything I know. But if we're going to hold on to that, guess who that is that does that work? Yes. If we are going to have a transformation that remains with us, we must go forth with intention and desire to have that transformation. You know, Jesus asked people when he went to heal them, do you want this? He didn't say, I'm going to heal you because you need to be healed and you're laying here sick. He said, your faith has made you healed. Do you want to be well? Do you want to get up and walk? Because if you do, you can. But we have to want it. We have to be able to hold that in our hearts and our minds and open our hearts and our minds to a place where we can do more than we usually think we can do. So we want to set our intention, and in setting our intention, we experience a coherence between idea, between energy, between mind, thought, heart. One of the things I like to do when I'm doing my meditation is just visualize pulling energy from my head, which is very active. Y'all have active minds? Who out there has active minds? How many of you think too much? Yeah. So I like to think about pulling that energy into my heart and just letting it go through, setting a connection so it's mind to heart, heart to mind, and let that movement be, because we have everything we know, everything we need. You know that, right? You have everything you need. You have everything you need for healing. You have everything you need for joy. You have everything you need to come about, to change your mind, to transform. So if you're willing to do the divine two-step and let that divine energy guide you, how are you going to know it's you or the divine? How are you going to know about ego versus you? Do you have any idea how to tell the difference? Because it's probably the number one question asked of me as a minister. How do I know if it's God or me? How do I know if ego is directing me or if it's really a divine idea? How do I know? Anybody here have that question? I ask that question occasionally. So first of all, if you want to know if it's your ego or if it's God that is leading you in this divine two-step, you can listen and see if the words are authentic. And you know when something's authentic. You ever meet somebody and you walk away and you go, whoa, they just really didn't feel very authentic. It felt like what they were saying was good, but it didn't feel real. You know about that, right? Am I the only one that ever experiences that? So we have this way of knowing what's authentic. And then there's some other guidelines. So first, when you were listening to that still, small voice, and you're getting guidance, it's usually really short. Short, doesn't have to go on. Okay, there it is. Now what? Well, you may be surprised. You may go, wait a minute. Not that. Not that God, you must be kidding. I spent about 5, maybe 10 years praying, what do I need to do to feel closer to you, God? And I got the same answer every time, and I would say anything but that. I did it for years, anything but that. Finally, I said, okay, I get it. But I didn't plan it, it just happened. You know, it was one of those things that surprised me. I was in a place, in a space, in a time, and it happened. So we have something that comes to us that's authentic, it's short, it's usually a surprise to us, or it's a surprise how it works out, how it happens, how it unfolds, how it presents itself to us. It makes sense. Divine guidance makes sense. Now, it may not make sense in what we know in our lives, but it makes sense to your heart and to your mind. It's that place where your gut goes, oh, yeah, that's right. Your mind may be going, uh-uh, no way, not doing that. But your gut goes, oh, yeah, that's the right thing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow. My two-step is going to be led by the divine. So we also know that when we're listening to the divine and we're willing to totally get that message, that it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on you. but it's also going to have an impact out there in the world. And it's going to have a positive impact. We're not going to be out hurting others. We may have to set some boundaries that people don't like, but we're not going to be out there hurting others. We're going to just know that it's true, and we're going to leave a mark in a positive way in our lives and in others. So again, it may require us to change our structure of knowing. We may have to release something. I don't know if y'all are hearing the powers in here that we have, but now we're going to talk about release, that power that we call also elimination. Release, elimination. What are you carrying today that you don't need in this world? What are you carrying in your mind that you wish you could just be rid of? Who are you angry at? Who do you dislike? What do you dislike? Boy, I had to work on hospitals and medical people, you know. It's like, whoa, I've got some feelings there. I had to let that go. I had a time when medical people were just awful, I thought. And today, after doing some forgiveness work, I just have the best experiences. We have to release that that isn't working for us. We have to forgive. And how many times are we supposed to forgive? How many? Wow. What was that last one?
A whole lot.
A whole lot. So it says that we're to forgive 70 times 7. And what that means is a whole lot. It means do it as many times as it takes. Because it is a journey to completely forgive in most cases. Sometimes it's easy and you just forgive and it's done. Oftentimes it takes time and time again. It's a dance. You don't just do one step and be done. You know, the song goes on. The music continues to play. It's a dance. And so we get to dance until we've got it handled. And if it's 70 times 7, then we do it. And then we do it. So does the dance go on? Does the dance continue? Do we continue to do a divine dance two-step through life? Anybody? You think you do? You think you don't? Yeah. And so does it continue? And how long does it continue?
Forever.
The tempo may change. The tempo may change. It may go from two-step to waltz. You may have some difference there, but the dance, the divine dance, continues in your life. And it requires, for it to be with ease and grace, transformation. And transformation means to change what was into something else. And for me, that means to change any negative energy I have into the energy of love. Into the energy of peace, into the energy of life, into the energy of power and strength and faith. Oh, and this is an important one, especially when we're dancing, is divine order. Yes? Wisdom. Things transform through wisdom when we have a little more wisdom. And understanding. I love the power of understanding. Do you know what that means? That means that we have compassion for ourselves and others. Understanding is compassion. And it's an important, important power for us to live. If we're going to do this two-step, we need to serve others. We need to listen to that divine. We need to be willing to transform in our heart. And we need to be willing to recognize that it continues and continues. And continues. So how does it end? It doesn't. It continues. And you continue to be a divine source of God working in this world. You continue to be a radiant light. You bring your light into the world in so many ways. And I just behold that Christ in you, the light that you shine here, and your special dance, I behold you. Amen and namaste. So now we are going to continue with our meditation time. So if you'd like to take a deep breath, allowing yourself the energy of relaxation. Take a deep breath, letting out that tension that you may carry. We're in a time and a place of expansion. We want to expand our understanding, our compassion. We want to expand our love. Those people who we call unlovable, Jesus would be right there loving them. So let's call on the Christ presence within us to bring love forth. This is a great time that if you feel that there is something to be forgiven, let it go. Let it go now. The church will be cleaned and it'll be carried out. We'll get all this stuff out. Because there is only God. It is in knowing God and listening to that still small voice that we know what is ours to do next. But listening to the still small voice, we know what is ours. I invite you to go to that inner place where there is a light shining. And just observe the beauty of the light. Feel the truth that moves through you, energizing you. Allow yourself to feel the guidance that divine that leads you in the dance. Holy Spirit, may we love our ego and release its need to control. Let us release the belief that we're the only ones that know. For there is a power greater than us, an energy, a force that moves through the world like a divine matrix. It is powerful and positive and lifting us, encouraging us, loving us. Divine matrix is guiding us along. We see the power of the light. We see the power of forgiveness. See the power of love. And we let divine order work in our lives that we may experience the wisdom that is the universe. And in knowing this, in relaxing into this, we allow ourselves to bring our attention back to this time and space. We bring our attention back with a new sense of how precious we all are. And we look into the eyes of those who are close by, just beholding the Christ and enjoying this moment. And so it is, and so we let it be. Namaste.